finish 2023 smarter. And for this session, we are talking about how to find meaningful romantic relationships that would lead to marriage. This is going to be helpful for singles. It's going to be helpful for married people.
Thank you so much.
Yes, Ma. Thank you for joining me on this series. So I'll just get right into it. I understand that you've been doing HR for a very long time. And is it coincidence? I just want to start out with this. Is it coincidence that the HR and, you know, when we talk about relationships, romantic relationships, are there any connection whatsoever between the two?
Wow, that's an interesting question. Well, yes, it was coincidental. Like, I remember my sister bought me the forms to school, filled the forms and put in industrial relations. And then she kept saying, you like it, you like it. And I didn't even know what it was. So it was coincidental. But the very first day I joined, I found it very fascinating. And I usually tell people that the fact that I've practiced HR for almost 15 years was not because I didn't have other options. It was basically because, oh my goodness, I have a time thing that I set for Instagram. So it might shut down. I totally forgot. Yeah. Oh my God. It might shut me down and then I'll join back if that happens.
So No problem.
Okay. And so I usually say that it's not because I don't have other options, but it's because I love the profession. It has helped me to see a better way to support the business. And it's also about people management, right? So maybe that's the connection with relationships. I'm always able to see how talents connect with the business needs. And it also helps me to see with people, like I can see ahead of time, oh, this person is looking like this personality would be a good match for this and stuff. Yeah.
Awesome. Makes sense. Awesome. So then when it comes to romantic relationships, I understand that romantic relationship is just a type of relationship. There are other types of relationships, right? You have the formal relationship, the one with your boss. You have the one with your colleague. Mm-hmm. You have the one with your staff. Mm-hmm. You have the one with your, you know, subordinate, somebody ahead of you, massive, you know, a company and all of that. So when it comes to romantic relationships, what are the three common, you know, three common things you notice, especially for singles who are looking to get married? Three things that they should look out for. Three common things or barriers. Should I say maybe barriers or things they should look out for, you know, before starting a romantic relationship?
That's a very good one as well. First, what I always say to singles is we sometimes think that being with somebody, getting married to somebody is because you love them or because you care about them. But hey, the person you marry determines so many things in your life. It determines your mental health in a couple of years. It determines the cousins your children are going to have. do you imagine how?
Wow.
I mean, how interesting. Really?
I've never thought of that before.
It determines who the family members of your children are going to be. It determines the kind of schools your children will go to and the opportunities they will have. That's how important those relationships are. So it's not something to be taken for granted. So when we focus on little things like, people just set unnecessary expectation. He must be this, he must be that, she must be this. Really, in the long run, because this marriage thing is like a long journey. Like in the long term, how will those things really matter? So I really encourage people to think long term. Think long term, like how will this person support my entire life goals? That's the first thing, because hey, if you're a driven person, you probably have a picture of where you're going. If this person does not fit into that picture, then I mean, that's more important than are they handsome, do they have six pack and all that. The other thing that's a major hindrance is unrealistic expectations. You know, I consider myself heavily blessed today because of my choice of spouse. But I mean, when I was getting married, my husband was not in the class of the rich, the cream de la cream of this world. He was just a normal guy. But I pat myself on the back for being a visionary and seeing the potentials that could come out of this young man. So, I mean, don't focus on unrealistic expectations. Focus on the things that are, you know, that are most crucial, that are most important to you in the long term. And the other thing is, I encourage people to get a lot of exposure before you settle on one person. Because I remember when I was a teenager, and I mean, I was pretty active and I had a lot of people around me, and everybody thought, oh, this sister is anointed, will be a good wife, blah, blah, blah. But hey, that was the limit of my purview at that time. The more I grew, the more places I went to, the more people I met, the more exposure I had, the more clarity I had about who's the right person to be with and who would be a person who would fit into that husband mark a lot better. So and it's so challenging, trust me, especially in this our day and age. I pray for single people. You don't go to parties, you're not serving anywhere. You just walk and go back to sleep. Where will you find the person? You know,
Set time out. Great.
Okay. Yeah, can you hear me? I think I'm back.
Okay,
that
okay.
I told you was going to happen. I usually set a time limit, like on some of these things, so that I don't get too distracted. So that was what was kicking.
Yeah, I totally understand. So I don't know if for everyone joining in, thank you. Can you confirm if you can see the both of us? If you can see me clearly, or you can see my guest clearly? I don't know, for whatever reason the video is not so clear. So, but the audio is fine. I just want to be sure. I would have assumed that Nigerian network won't beat Abuja network.
I didn't say that you did.
don't mind me. But it's interesting that, okay, I think it's getting better. I think it's fine, so we can go ahead. Yes. So you were talking about,
barriers, and I was saying that, expand your purview as much as possible, create bigger, networks and build connections and all of that. Because, I mean, it really expands the people that you would meet. I mean, and you know the way this world is, like if your husband is supposed to be an engineer or is an engineer and you work as an accountant and how are you going to connect? You know, those kind of things, those kind of connections happen by reason of your connections. I mean, how open you are and the tools that are available to you and all that. So those are some of the things to also think about as a barrier. You getting out of your own way to create opportunities for yourself to meet the right person.
Yes, yes. So, I mean, that was really, really on point, because now that we are, you know, technology is driving everything. We spend more time on our smartphones. We spend more time watching movies. We are more on YouTube and all of that. And I would like to go on that question again. So, in fact, people go on dates and they spend more time still pressing the phone than doing the real talk. And I mean, in my own observation, meeting people in person now is becoming a luxury. You know, from the COVID-19 year till now, it's very difficult to hang out now, because people just say, oh, let's just do Skype, oh, let's just do video call and all of that. So what's your take on that, and how do you think, you know, singles can, you know, find a way around it?
I don't think it's just a single thing. I think it's just a human being thing. Like, we all need to be more disciplined with technology. I mean, oh boy, you go to dinners with some people and you find out that nobody has a phone, because the reason why we're there is to connect, is to network, and is to have conversations. But a lot of us feel on this simple task that before you know, it's like a junkie thing. Like you, every single bit of boredom, you want to fill up for it, and then your phone is out, and you miss out on the total conversation. I feel like one of the hallmarks of a relationship is how intentional you are being in each other's presence. Because if you are not intentional, it means that person is a second fiddle in your heart, in your life, and they really do not. I mean, they really do not deserve your attention, or that's what it communicates. Because if you are together, that's all the that's all that you should be focusing on. I can't imagine that. So, and it's also a red flag. Seriously, you've intentionally cultivated a relationship and invited the person out on a date, and while they are on a date, all they wanted to do is press their phones. It tells you they are not speaking to you. Or, I mean, it speaks something that doesn't speak to the cordiality of that relationship. So definitely you should be intentional. And even if you wanted to use your phone, it should be with an apology and for a few seconds, and you should be back to talking. It's so, I don't know how we're going to continue living without intentionally wanting to get to know people. How would you know? Do you want to get married to somebody you do not know? No, the answer is not on your phone. It's in conversations. Yeah. I've even been an HR person. At a certain level, you don't come into an interview and expect that they will ask you, how are you, or tell me about yourself. At a level, what you're going to do is have conversations, just pure talk. Because the more people talk, the more you share, the more you're opening up yourself to people, the more people can get to know you, right? So the more you share, the more answers you're providing. So you cannot be on your phone at that one-on-one meeting with somebody, or a relationship date, or I mean a date or whatever. The answer is not on your phone. The answer is in the presence, and you've been present in that conversation.
Yes, Matt. Thank you so much. So we need to be intentional. The singles out there listening to this or watching this, or watching the replay or listening to the replay, we need to be intentional, because technology, smartphones, smart devices are taking most of our time now. You know, it's quite interesting. I agree, and I want to believe that it is okay to start a conversation on social media, since that is where we all get to meet a lot of people nowadays. But it is good to now move it to a physical meet, and then you have a real relationship, not an online relationship, I believe. Yes. So this will take me to the next question of, you know, personality, right? So there are people that are outgoing. There are people that are, you know, they like to stay indoors. The extroverts, the introverts. And there's a common, I mean, this is a common, you know, trend, or this is a common thing that happens. When you see a couple, one of them is usually an extrovert, the other is usually an introvert. And so what is your take on opposites attracting, and then eventually there are conflicts that happen, you know, in between them? So what's your take? Because people say things like, oh, I would like to marry somebody like me. But I don't think that is achievable.
Well, I don't think it's not achievable. I mean, it's preferences at the end of the day. But yes, opposites has a lot. And one of the reasons opposites attracts is because most of the time we're fascinated by who we are not, right? We're fascinated by what we don't have, right? If you have the same thing, how are you fascinated? If you don't have it, that's when it looks like, oh, this is exciting, you know? So that's the whole essence of opposites attracting. But I mean, it's about balancing from a marriage standpoint. It's about, oh, this if I'm married to this person, it would balance our marriage, it will balance our relationship, because they have strengths that they are bringing on board that I don't have so much of. Or I mean, we just kind of balance each other out at the beginning. That's very good. But I mean, it doesn't take away the importance of being the best versions of yourself for each other. Because, yes, So think about, I mean, the easy one is the extrovert and the introvert versions, right? You have an extrovert and an introvert, and then you have this extrovert who says, well, I like the introvert, but the introvert is getting too much. It gets to a point where I can't even take it so much. And then the extrovert is also saying, you are too dull. You're making me unhappy. So, I mean, the whole, I don't think, that's why I'm not a stickler for temperaments. It's good as an initial understanding of personality, but it should not be a box. It should definitely not become your identity for life, because everybody has opportunities to grow. We're always discovering ourselves if we're willing to make sacrifices. So there will always be need for you to make sacrifices for each other. Sacrifices to, I mean, well, I'm not so exciting, but I'll go for one shows here and there. Or I won't overburden this person with too much excitement. You know, it's all about balancing, like understanding the responsibility that you have to each other as partners, right? It's to put each other first, to put the intention, because at the end of the day, your personality, regardless, it's not your intention to become the woe or the troubler of that person, right? You don't expect them to come into their own house and they're not able to be themselves. That's not the intention. The intention is, yes, we understand that we don't have the same level of energy, but we can balance each other out, right? We can learn from each other. We can grow together. And in things like, one of my strengths is reviewing stuff. And my husband always believes in somewhere in his mind that he will just bring it home and his wife will... his wife will review or something. At some point, I'm like, hey, no. I've been working all day. My head is blowing out. I don't want to see prints. I don't want to see letters or anything. So, I mean, that's the whole essence. It's all of us understanding that marriage does not cancel out development. Marriage does not cancel out us being responsible. Think about somebody being a spendthrift and the other being a saver. Those are simple things, right? And it could really cause major hurdles in the home. So we all must understand that, oh, my spouse is not my enemy. My spouse is on my team and on my side. So if they complain and they feel like there's a need to change, they're saying it from the best, with the best intention. And it's important for me to pay attention.
Wow, powerful. So my spouse is not my enemy, or whoever you're going to be getting married, he's not your enemy, because sometimes you would even think, why are we even fighting? Is it that is this person Arsenal and this other person is Real Madrid? Like, we are different teams. We are the same team. So opposite to all of that.
Yeah.
You said?
No, I agree. I was just agreeing that we're on the same team. And the truth is, the worst, our spouses tell us the deepest truths. But they are the people we don't want to hear it from. That's another conflicting thing in marriage, because it's like a see finish scenario where they've seen so much, they know too much. So when they say stuff, it might be in the most raw form, right? But I mean, the truth is, we all must continue to get disciplined in our relationships. Even when we want to share, we share with love. And when we want to listen, we listen with love. And then seek. I mean, it's all about being entirely vulnerable in your relationships.
Awesome. So because, I mean, for me, one of the things, I remember my uncles, you know, when I was going to get married, the one word he kept hammering was, you know, get ready to be forgiven. Get ready to keep forgiving and keep forgiving. That a lot of things are going to happen, you know, keep forgiving. And that will take me to my next question in terms of conflict. So, I mean, for singles, for people that are married, there will always be conflict, even when you are dating or even while dating. Well, I don't know. I think some people pretend, so there's no form of conflict. And I mean, my first question would be, while dating someone or checking out if you can marry somebody, that's dating, shouldn't there be conflict? Because it will look as if there are no conflicts at all, and then you don't know how this person is going to react, if this person is mad or is crazy. You know, and then, you know, when you get to be married, some high level form of, you know, quarrels will happen or fights will happen. So how do you manage conflict, basically? That's what I want to ask.
In fact, I usually encourage singles that don't marry until you have figured out that conflict code. Like, you really need to understand how to fight and fight fair. It's not like you're going to re-engineer the conflict, but it's just normal. If you're being sincere, if you are all being sincere, I mean, if you're both being sincere and living your true self, something has to tickle another person and make them and trigger them in some ways, right? It's just normal. It's just normal. And you really need to develop that skill. I go back to saying that you have to understand that this person is not the enemy, even when there's a problem. And think of the things that happens that cause this problem. Maybe money, maybe it could also be ego. Like, it could just be you not wanting to take anything, right? And people who can't take anything cannot get married and stay in marriages, right? So, I mean, it's those simple. It's just understanding how to fight. Like, the essence of this is something is wrong. This person is unhappy. How do we talk through it and how do we resolve it? You know, I remember very early in my marriage, very, very early, maybe about the first or second year, there was a time myself and my husband had a conflict. And then he said he was angry and he was not eating. Ah, I stopped cooking because that's not one of the things I want. food is for delivery. Food is for people who are hungry and want to eat. When the young man realized that that wasn't a smart decision.
He
stopped being angry, you know. But I also saw the scenario as, oh, you, I, because hey, our backgrounds are so different, and you have to learn that quickly, so quickly. Because my husband was from a home where there was a father and Lord. I was raised by a single parent, and it was my mother. There's no rule. I mean, we had a lot of the law in my house was love. It was just love and communication. So I expected that was supposed to be it. Nobody's Lord and Master. Let's just have communication. But he was from the rule. And so we have to understand those differences and how they influence the kind of fights that's going to, or the kind of arguments that is going to come up in our relationship. But you have to understand that, hey, take a break if you need to. Take a break in terms of take a walk, cool off. You may not need to speak at that time, but what I've learned is not to talk when I'm angry. And it's one of the code. Like, why is mommy suddenly quiet? It's because something is wrong. Because when I start to talk, things start to go. And so I've learned that to just keep quiet and let the processing happen inside of me and cool up. And then one of the things we've also learned is it's impossible for us to not talk in one day. Like, even if we've been angry all day, we can't go to bed hungry. We really have to resolve it, you know. It's so important that we can't go to bed angry. And then the other thing is to build relationships with your spouse in a way that it's not just the marriage thing, it's the friendship thing. Because, I mean, if you depend on each other for a lot of things, it continues to open opportunities for you to have conversations, opportunity for you to resolve issues. And then it's also, hey, when this one happens, we learn from it and we move on to the next thing. And we don't continue to dig up. That is what you always do. You know, that is how you always be. All those things that we learned from African magic, we should just delete them.
you now refer to what happened 2 years ago, 6 months ago. And things like that.
World war scenarios and that happened all the way in the past, you know, we really must take that off and be very, very forgiving. Like, if you really understand that your spouse is on your team and not your enemy, you would really have a solid marriage, because it would help you. It will help your relationship. It will help you to see that this person is not against you. You know, I learned something, I think about 5 years into my marriage, I met this very elderly person, and I had a concern at that time, not because my husband is a bad person or anything. I mean, in so many regards, apologies to all men. He seems to be one of those perfect ones that God created, and I'm very lucky to have selected him. So yes, I do feel that, but then there are instances where I'm wondering, kilo shebo boy, you know that kind of thing. Sorry for my Yoruba parlance. But it's just basically, what's going on? What's going on with this guy and all that? And then I was chatting with someone, and then she asked me a question in the midst of my anger and pondering and all that. She asked me a question. She said, do you love him? I said, yes. Do you think he loves you? I said, absolutely. And then do you think that if he ever has to choose, will he choose you and your family over anything else? And I said, yes. And then she said, you really don't have a problem. You are just proud. That was humbling. That was very humbling. And then it made me because I felt like I ought to be treated a certain way. I felt like something had to happen a certain way, but it was all about how I saw it, what my preferences were, and not what they ought to be. So I'm like, okay, so if you can come to that conclusion, then you know it's not your enemy. He's really going to choose you over anything else. And his decisions would not go against protecting you. So you won't throw bottles around when you know that, or you won't raise placards when you know that. You would know it's a conflict. It's normal. It can be resolved.
Awesome. Powerful one. Yeah. The next thing, so I want to quickly talk about, I know you run a matchmaking platform, and I don't know, I think some people don't understand how matchmaking works. So I wanted to just talk, you know, briefly about it. I know it happens, people matchmake each other. I mean, friends matchmake each other by saying, oh, I think you like this person, meet this person. And people don't get to remember that we all do that until when they see a platform that say, hey, no, I can't go for a blind date. I can't do this. I can't do that. So I want you to maybe share a bit on, you know, the platform you run. And I think it runs in Canada alone. I don't know. Is it open to Nigeria, US and UK?
Very good question. And so the essence, I'll just tell you the background where, I mean, myself and my partner, the reason we came up with this is because we really do have a lot of single people around. You will agree with me. There are so many single people around us that are very good people. We know that they are good people, but they just don't have a spouse. And you keep wondering why. But it's like I said, it's that story of an engineer marrying an accountant. How are they going to meet? How? You don't go out, it doesn't go out. What? Where is the connection going to happen? Right? So that's the reason we said soulmate mates. Like it's totally for singles in the North American environment. And it's the whole essence of it is to create that opportunity, that avenue for people to find their soulmates. And it's so structured and like it's not a swipe. I mean I've heard a lot about swipes. I don't believe in swipe. It's not about a swipe. It's such a structured process where you get to complete a profile. A professional reviews your profile, meets with you to understand your needs. I mean, there's so many personality tests that goes into it. I mean, understanding your personality, who you are, in comparison to who you're looking out to meet. And that comprehensive profile is what is used in finding a spouse for you. And then one of the things we also do is when we make the connection, we understand that it's not all connection that works right away. But one of the things you commit to when you join that community is to give the gift of feedback, right? Because I want to know, like, if I've gone to an interview and I didn't do well, I really want to know what the person saw, right? So we insist that that feedback is provided, and we deliver that feedback to everybody, right? And we don't, I mean, it's so interesting that the reach of the platform is so, and because of who we are and the people in our circle, it's all a very strong network of professionals who have great potentials. And who, I mean, it's just a great opportunity to network to, and a great opportunity to find a soulmate.
Okay, and then for now it's just running in Canada only.
It's in Canada, and the reason we're doing that is because we don't want to do an online thing where you just connect and you're wondering forever when the meetup is going to happen. We want to make sure that it's the connection is good, short enough for you to make the first contact, because when you meet one-on-one, it's a totally different ball game. So that's why we kept it in that circle. And I mean, there's potential for us to expand beyond our immediate environment, which is the North American market. There's potentials, but right now we want to solidify the process. We want to continue to expand on our success stories to make sure that we can actually replicate that same process in other markets.
Yeah, okay, awesome. Makes sense. I think the website is soulmatesmeet.org for whoever is interested, so they can, you know, join in. For everyone joining in, thank you so much. You can, of course, join my guests, or you can follow her on Instagram at Bosubankole, you know, and then you can also follow Soulmatesmeet. That's Soulmatesmeet, M-A-T-E, for those listening to, you know, audio. All right, so let's go back to, I know there's a major part of romantic relationship, and that is money, you know, finances. I know you mentioned it earlier in a jiffy, and I want us to go back to it. So singles, you know, I mean, on social media, it's as if money is, I mean, it's the man. The man should be in charge of money. The man should have more money than the woman. You know, the man exists to take care of the woman. You know, and then there are a lot of tweaks to this. There are a lot of, you know, shades to this. So I want you to talk about, for singles, money matters, and for marriage, for the married ones, how do they handle their finances? Yeah.
It's a very important question, because I mean, it's a very important question, and it's important because money answers a lot of things. Money is such an important and crucial conversation that every single person must have. But one of the things I want to tell you is that if those ideology, man is the breadwinner, is the owner of capitalist opportunities for your home, there are traditional views, not in our world today. If you live if you live abroad and you own a house or whatever, you would understand the capitalist importance of two people in the house being economically empowered. And if there's a man who's saying that my wife should not be economically empowered, it's called economic abuse. That is, you have limited the capacity of that person to have economic security. It is an abuse. So it's not acceptable. Everybody should see. And I also encourage single people. You don't suddenly start thinking that somebody wants to marry you, and then that takes away your sorrow. What happened to your own arms and legs? You have to be able to pull your own weight as a woman. And So I'm a Christian, and one of the things I was praying for when I was trying to marry some, seriously, I wasn't so into it, but I was conscious about how stubborn I am, how driven I am, how, you know, all of those things, even as a teenager, and I was afraid. I'm like, which man will marry this kind of person? That was why I prayed. Sincerely, that was why I prayed. And when I was praying, I said, God, I'm not looking for a boss. I'm looking for a man under whose authority I can also prosper, because it was important for me to fulfill my purpose as an individual. So that was so important. So I've been investing in my economic capabilities as a young person, the things I'm able to do, the things I'm able to achieve. So I'm a contributor in our household. It's so important. It's so important. And even when you get married, the continuity of that is equally important. And it's one of the reasons I'm very firm with people, because when I deny myself stuff every day, because I know that down the line, there are decisions I want to be able, I mean, there are things I want to be able to have. Those things are dependent on my decision today. So I also deny myself. So if you're married and your husband is saying, oh, you're the one spending all the money, blah, 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 then it's something that calls for your attention, that calls for you to rethink. There has to be a guiding principle for finances in your family. How are we going to run it? And you must discuss it, because there are so many things. People say, oh, it's my money. It's money, it's our money. That's just selfishness from the pit of hell. So why are you there? You know, everybody in the family must be a family finance goal. Everybody in the family should be onboarded that goal and driving all their decisions towards achieving that goal. I had to teach my children the same thing, because every other time they always feel as if their father is Santa Claus. In fact, No jokes, I don't leave my husband with my daughter for any reason, because she has all his mumu button and will make him spend the money that even I, the wife, I'm not collecting. So I that's our house joke. I don't leave, because they also have to be onboarded to the family goals of your, I mean, to the financial goals of your family. You mm-hmm. have to discuss about it. Are we going to run a joint account? If we do run a joint account, what does that mean? Does it take away independence for everybody? For example, we have a joint account, and then every time I want to buy a pizza, I'm like, please, Tara, that is slavery. Right? It's no longer independence. We're not taking independence away. We're just ensuring that as team members, as partners on the journey to financial freedom, we are aligned on our goals, and we both trust each other to make the financial decision that is best for our family, even if it's a Louis Vuitton bag, right? If it's it means that that thing is fulfilling a purpose to this member of our family that is so important that they would not, I mean, we can all not say no to, because we know this person understands what our goal is. This person understands where we're going as a family, and they are onboarded with the dream. So if they make this decision, even though it looks ridiculous, we know they are not stupid. So that it's setting that goal and getting everybody onboarded to it, that is the challenge. But once we are all onboarded and we're all heading to the same direction, making decisions about money would be very easy.
Very easy. Awesome. Okay, so I'll be wrapping this up because I think we've done a good time. We've spent a good time on this topic. And so I just want to talk about, so there's a, you know, expectation. Oh, when you're at this age, you should be married. And for some people, you might not be at that age. You know, there are pressures here and there. So, I mean, in your opinion, is there a particular age that one should actually get married? And if you miss that age, what should you do? And then, of course, so the time of courting. So when you meet someone, because we hear stories, there are some people in 4 months to get married. And for me, I want to believe it is not that 4 months you just knew the person. Most likely, maybe they've known the person, they just started a relationship or a romantic relationship, or they just agreed 4 months ago before they got married. And you know, there are cases of people that they have been dating someone for years, and once they broke up in 6 months time, you just hear that they've married somebody else, or in 3 months time they married somebody else. So probably that other person was also there, you know, maybe the person was just on bench or something, we don't know. You know, so in your opinion, is there a particular age, you know, to get married? I'm talking globally now, both in Nigeria, outside Nigeria. And then even if you missed this time, is there a number of months to know someone before you say, okay, this person, I think I want to get married to this person? And you can also talk about the basic checks even before saying, okay, I think I want to spend the rest of my life with this person. Yeah.
That sounds like 15 questions in one.
Yes.
Okay, so the first one, what is there an age? No, it's about marriage, is about readiness. It's not about age. And readiness is not only physical, it's mental, it's spiritual, it's all around, right? So I mean, there's no limitation. I was joking one day because I used to have a niece, and I'm sorry, not used to, I have one of my nieces that I used to joke about this and say, this is my niece, the way she's grown like this, okay, we should be preparing to get married, or what is she waiting for? You know, all of those kind of things. So it's not because the person is of a certain age, it's just about readiness. It's about readiness. If you're ready, why not? And then I also think that the idea about age is stigma that we've placed in our society. It's a stigma that we've, I mean, it's also how we box people in. It's how we take away an opportunity. It's labeling. It's how we take away an opportunity for people to enjoy life in the way that they should. And it creates a lot of pressure. There's something that's called symbolic interactionism in sociology. And that thing means that we form an opinion about an item or a thing based on what the society thinks about it. So the society needs to be more, lenient and accepting, the society just needs to be fair on people, because it's not all of us that would have opportunity to find somebody early, but we don't want to take away the joy of the person who's had delay in finding their spouse. That's not the essence. We don't want to make them feel like they don't belong or that there's something missing in their life. No, they are hitting other goals. Don't forget that marriage is the undoing of a lot of people. It's not always the answer. Oh, it's not always the answer. There are some people whose life would have been better off if they didn't marry who they married when they married the person. So it's not always the, it's just one of the goals that it's a nice to have. It doesn't cancel out the whole essence of living. So people should be given an opportunity to experience life to the fullest, regardless of the delay or how long. And don't forget that in this same world we live in, some people chose not to be married. Hey, and it's okay. It's all about inclusivity, right? It's okay. That's who they are, right? So we can't take away their independence, their joy, just because we feel like, oh, some other people their age are married. And if there's anybody in that state, change your circle. Because if you're single and you continue to hang around married people, you will always feel like something is missing. They will have conversations that you cannot relate to. So change your circle. Mingle with people who would, inspire you in some other way, so you don't feel like you're missing out on life, right? So that's the first thing. The second thing about what's the right time to move on is that's like making something emotional, mechanical. How do we put a timeline to when somebody should heal from their past relationships? No. And I personally don't believe that you need to know somebody for donkey years before you get married. Hey, people, I mean, it depends on the amount of time and how intentional the people in that relationship are to get to know each other. I mean, some people's 1 week of relationship is what 1 year of others. Forgive me, if you live in Nigeria, your husband lives in Canada, you will understand that long-term relationship is on another level. When you live in those different, make it work in Australia. Those time zones, they count for years. But if you see each other every day, you talk every minute, you're making the short time count by getting to know each other in levels that maybe people who are in long-term relationships would not have invested in. So yeah, I'm not canceling you getting to know the person. Definitely, you have to know them for who they are spiritually. And it's not about what they say. It's about their examples. It's about how they live what they say. It's about proofs. It's about fruits. It's what you see happen every day. What they show off, how they show up every day, and how they stand by what they do. That's so important. So it's about getting to know them on that level, getting to know where they are heading. If you are heading in the same direction, good luck. If not, oh my God, break it. God will give you the strength to bear the loss. But it's a loss that needs to happen earlier than not. You know, if you are not heading in the same direction, love will not fix it. Love will not fix it. The love will get choked by the level of incompatibility. So don't settle. The plan is not for you to settle. The plan is for you, to build the kind of relationship that would make your life better, that would enrich. I mean, marriage is one of the best things that can happen to you if you do it right. If not, it could be the undoing of your future.
Awesome. Thank you so much. So I think this would be my last question, like my last question before we close this. Because I had a lot of, but I think I'll just pick this last one and then we'll just wrap it up that way. Thanks to everybody that joined in. If you have any question, you can just quickly use the question icon and then we'll take the question. Someone asked about the finances. That was why I brought it up. I said, we should talk about finances and marriage. So, this other last one. So, in terms of divorce, it seems, you know, more people get to divorce nowadays. I mean, something happened during COVID when people were now living together. I mean, there was this divorce rate that just went up. It's a part of the world. I don't think it happened that much in Africa, you know. So, but I think outside Africa, that happened. So what is your take on divorce for people that so there's this common thing for irreconcilable difference. People just say, I'm not doing anymore. What could be the reason why these things are happening? And it looks as if people that have good marriages, they don't want to come out. They don't want to come on media, online, to share about their successful marriage before something happens to it. And the ones that are getting divorced, they are the one out there pushing it out on, you know, on online. And the singles are scared that, is it that this marriage was meant to not work in the first place? Because it looks as if 90% of people are getting divorced, you know, which is not true. Yes. So I want you to touch on that and then wrap up.
Okay. So, I mean, first, let me just debunk that marriages are breaking. No, if you even check statistically, although there's a lot of things that's been said about divorce, but it has not cancelled out marriages, right? Marriage is still a very important institution in our social environment, and it contributes to the continued success of our community in general. So we always need those marriage institutions for sure. Yeah. However, so many things lead to divorces, and one of those simple things is when we start to take each other for granted, and it's so easy, and then I mean things start to happen. Someone is complaining, the other person is not listening, and then things start to mount and mount and mount. You know, that's when it becomes irreconcilable. Like you've swept it under the rug for so much, the pain is now regurgitating for the person, and they can't take it anymore. And then the other thing is when people go into marriages believing that somebody is some certain way and they turn out to be totally different. I mean, how do we say it? It becomes a shocker that, oh my world, who's this person? And then there are also instances of abuses, like, you know, there's this thing that's called that emotional roller coaster, where somebody is abused, they apologize, love kicks in, and then they abuse again, and the cycle, it gets to a breaking point where folks can no longer manage that. They can't stay in it anymore. In that case, what do you say? But I mean, I want to say that divorce is not a decision that should be made from a very light point of view, because you think that you are going to get over that person easily, but not in all cases. You've lived with the person, you've built memories with the person. I mean, those memories are, oh my world, memories. Today I was thinking about I was planning for next year and thinking about, where do I want to go? I was just chatting about that with somebody, and I was thinking, maybe I want to do something because my spouse, those are products of memories that you've created, and then you want to drop it and then move on. There will always be triggers. It will always come on. And then there are issues of children. How would they survive in the process? There's even something as simple as, how would you even share your property if you live in the, I mean, how do you pay arbitrators? It's so intense. So if you're making that decision, you should be making it from a standpoint that, this is the best decision for now. And I encourage you, if you're at that place, I mean, who are we to say it's not intense? Because if it's intense for you, it's your story, right? So, but what I encourage is, before you get to the point of divorce, get as much help as possible. Don't bear it alone. Speak to somebody. I mean, and you know, there's this thing called isolation that some people do as well. And it's a form of abuse when you take them away from everybody that they know, so that nobody's telling them the truth. That's also an abuse. So if you feel like you're being isolated, and then the problem has bottled, get help, speak to somebody, get counsel. I haven't done it all. If you feel like it's not going to work, it takes, you know, I was listening to a story. I think it was myself and my husband. We're chatting about a couple who's been married for 20 years and they divorced. And I'm like, 20 years? That's such a long time. Wow. How do you move on from that? And then while we were exploring this, one of the things we said is, you can say that the time invested is a lot. But would you want to say that the person should live the rest of their life unhappy? Because those are two time perspectives, right? So make sure you're not making that decision from a flimsy standpoint. Make sure it's an informed decision. Haven't done all that you can, and if you feel like, this might look like the next step and the right way for me to go, after all, it's your decision.
Awesome. Wow. Awesome. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. I mean, it's already getting late here. I guess it's still afternoon there. Thank you so much for I mean, we've done, I think, 40 minutes or thereabouts. I can't really tell. But I believe that this powerful insight has helped somebody out there. And for those even listening to this again, because, I mean, this will be, I'll put this, on my podcast so that people can listen to it again and again. I believe it's going to help people, find meaningful romantic relationships and they know what to do. And I believe we'll be able to touch around singles and marriage so that everybody, we are all in check, right? So I don't know if there are any last words, out of the tank of knowledge and experience that you have. I don't know if there are any last words for people that want to find romantic relationships before the end of 2023.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. I mean, for folks who have listened, I wish you all the very best. One of the best things you can do for yourself is clarify what do I want and why. If you can answer those questions, you probably will be able to see clearly the folks that are around you. And of course, use Soulmate Meets services if you live in North America, because I mean, we're definitely trying to do our best to make those connections for single people.
Yes. Thank you so much. I think we'll call it a wrap for this moment. This time. Thank you. Have enjoyed the rest of the day. I think that's what I'll say because we are already wrapping up the day.
All right. Thank you for
Thanks to everybody that listened. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, bye.
Bye.
Thanks to everyone that joined in, asked the question. Thank you for being here till this time. We're going to be having another edition of Finishing 2023 Smarter, and it's going to be reloaded. I'm going to be bringing in someone powerful from the media. We are still going to be talking about tech skills. I'm going to be bringing on board also a celebrity who how he started in acting and how he's very popular in acting, a Christian, and then someone that knows his onions very well. I'm going to be bringing in a comedian, an ace comedian. Who did something massive recently at Terra Culture. He's planning another one in Abuja in November. So, I mean, you are in for a powerful time. My platform, exists to be able to showcase and, bring on board people who have experiences, people who have track record, people who have gone through the things that you are going through so they can share from their wealth of experience. They can share with you the things that they've gone through. That way you will learn wisdom. You don't necessarily have to make the mistake you're making. I hope you understand that. So thank you everyone for joining in. If you have been blessed, if you have picked something, your perspectives have changed, please send me a DM at CAYOJO, Tayo_Joe. That's on Instagram. And if you want to send me an email, it's fine. Tayo_Joe, CAYOJO @gmail.com. I'll look forward to hearing from you. On this, thank you and finish 2023 smarter than you started. Bye.